If we ever had a family movie, it's probably that one about how 9/11 was an inside job.
And I looked over at him, and he looked over at me with his whiskey, and he goes, "When boys were bloody men."
Give him a call. And he's like, "Yeah, I'm in Ohio." And he said it so casually. He said it like, "Yeah, I'm going to be a little late. I'm just going to need to go to Canada real quick."
Fuck you, Dad!
Welcome to another episode of Fuck You, Dad, everybody. We're back live in the studio with a very funny guest, Pat Bolduc, this week. Pat, what's up, man?
What's going on, guys? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not a problem. Pat, well, I guess, it's kind of over. That was my go-to question was I was going to ask about the quarantine, the Great Core. What was like, did you do any comedy during that, or did you kind of cave up?
I did do some comedy. I went to Maine, where I'm from, and they literally like just hadn't even like heard of it there for a while. Eventually, what happened there is there was literally at one point six infections
right
in Maine. So people were just like, "Yeah, you can do stuff.
You do whatever you
want. It's all good." Yeah. And then one person had a wedding, went over their limit of people by like 50 people. And gave Maine coronavirus. So
that was the whole thing.
They have a lot of fun memories of that way. Yeah, but then it took off and there was a lot of people with it. But so I did go to Maine and do some shows and did some things outside of the city where it was like outdoor stuff or patio shows. You know how those go?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which are almost worse than COVID, I would say.
Yeah,
pain of doing the outdoor show is like, well, let me just be on a vent.
Yeah, we should get a vaccine for patio shows. Where
just be done.
Yeah.
No, it's a real no. I did this, you know, I was just doing outdoor shows back in North Carolina, so I know what you're talking about, where you just leave a big city and other people are like, "What are you talking about? Like, I'm on a boat. Everything's fine."
Yeah, yeah, right, right.
Just like, what are you, yeah.
Well, like literally half the people in the United States don't think that Biden won the election. So there's probably going to be some difference in opinion. But like, yeah, because it is. You go to different places and they're just like I was driving through some place in Pennsylvania and they were like so pissed at me for wearing a mask at a gas station.
It's like a threat to your life. They might like punch you in the face.
Yeah, they're like, "You think you're better than me for wearing a mask?"
You're like, "A little bit."
Yeah,
I'm going to be honest.
Sorry to wear a mask at a Sheetz.
Yeah.
Is that your college degree strapped to your face right there, son? Yeah. I do feel like, especially since we were kind of touching on it beforehand, the Delta shit. And now it's like masks are in this weird gray zone of recommended. So now it is kind of like up to you, like if you want to wear them. I think we were talking about like I'll wear them if more than 20% of the people in a space is wearing them.
Mm-hmm.
I think masks too, it's just so threatening to see. It's such like a danger sign, you know, to have somebody with like, "I got to cover my face," that it alarms me. It feels like I need one if I see them around, you know?
Yeah, we live in hell. I don't really care anymore. Just let me put my mask on. I go outside, just go to Chili's, you know? I mean, people want to do the small little things that they like.
Yeah.
That's it.
So honestly,
vaccine, just be like, "Hey, everyone gets a free appetizer at Buffalo Wild Wings." And they'll be like, "That's it."
What if we did like, everyone has to wear a mask, but every single person gets a free gun from the government? So guns are 100% legal. But you
all guns all the time.
Just, it's illegal to not have a gun, and you have to shoot it a couple times a day.
Yeah.
Have you been watching the Olympics at all, Pat?
No, I haven't at all.
Not really. I haven't either, but I saw that America, we won all of the shooting. All of, like the air rifle shooting, the skeet shooting.
Well, it's good to have something to show for it, right?
Yeah.
It'd be nice if it was just a bunch of people dead and you had no medals.
I feel like we just gave them the gold because they didn't turn around and shoot anybody else. Like, because right. Athletes are under so much pressure, you know?
Right.
And there's that white guy with a gun, big gun.
Right.
And they're just like, "And he's just, American, just give him the gold."
Just try the target instead of the mall, and you're good.
Is that what the event is called, being a white guy with a gun? Like, I got silver in being a white guy with a gun. It's like, dude, that guy is amazing.
And that he just didn't shoot it. Like, amazing. That's great.
Yes.
He just didn't flip out.
You're white, right? Dude, great gun.
Yeah, great gun. Yeah, yeah.
Love the gun.
Just held it and he's like, "I'm going to put this back in my case now." I'm really mad at everyone at my work, but I think I'm going to go meditate instead.
Gold medal.
Gold medal.
That's what we need to start doing. Everybody, maybe we need a mental health Olympics. Let's see how healthy people are. Wouldn't that be fun?
The United States be dead last. Beyond dead last.
Who would win, though, you think? What country?
Don't know.
Probably
yeah.
a country that had, like...
Probably Sweden really... or something.
Yeah.
I don't know any true. Problems.
Well, there'd be different events, right? You'd have the depression one and the anxiety one. So different countries would win, I feel like.
Yeah.
Like, what's the happiest country? Don't people say it's like Finland or Denmark or something? But I bet they're anxious as fuck, but they're still happy.
And I think there's a lot of suicides still for some reason.
Well, as my friend is a great joke, that is, it's because when you go outside, everything's great, and you're like, well, I guess it's just me.
Yeah.
You're like, it is, I am the sole purpose.
Yeah. That everyone is, this. The floor is raised up a little bit, so you can't feel that slight superiority to a person with schizophrenia on the street.
You're
so
like, well, at least I'm not that guy. Yeah. Over there, you're like, fuck, I am that guy, just because I'm bummed out at a Starbucks.
Yeah, I am on the way to walk a dog for $11, but
I'm not that guy in the street. Yeah, no, that's literally America's whole thing. You're like, well, you could be that guy dying right next to you.
That's reality television. That's all that is. Like, Intervention, you ever watch that show?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just watch it because I'm like, yeah, I smoke weed every day and I get drunk a lot, but I'm not
hitting
my dad.
That's literally all TLC is like, at least you're not these people.
Yeah.
And it's like the saddest, most just disgust, where it's like, why am I watching this 600-pound person just in a horrible state?
Yeah,
it's just
this
weird, like, look at her, you're not her, right? Yeah. And it's like, Jesus fucking Christ. You know?
Hoarders, too. I'm a piece of shit slob, but then you watch Hoarders, and I'm like, God, but I don't have a problem, you know?
Yeah, if we could cancel those shows, I think everything would be... People would be like, I think we need universal health care.
Yeah.
People would just, like, get it together. They'd be like, oh, damn. I don't have just, like, a slob to watch on TV to hate.
If I stop seeing people eating parts of their couch, I might actually ask for the basis of a decent existence.
Yeah.
That's my strange addiction, right? You see people doing that.
Yeah.
Have you seen the one where the guy has sex with his car?
That's not that strange.
I
think this was strange.
Pat gets like real uptight, and he's like, you know, there's a community.
What is that show? Normal addictions? Yeah. Things that I do on a daily basis.
Pretty cool guy. It's just.
But see, that kind of works in the opposite direction, because you're like, where the fuck, how did he get the car?
Yeah.
Like, how did he get the car? A guy who wants to have sex with his tailpipe has a vehicle, and I don't.
He has like a good car. He has like a good job. Yeah. My whole thing is, why go on TV about it? Like, if that's who you are, if you're like, I'm fuck a tailpipe guy,
yeah.
I feel like you'd have some self-awareness. Be like, I probably shouldn't advertise this on television.
No. Yeah.
You have a family or
you'd
something.
You'd be like, that's just my fun time shed, and no one knows about it, you know?
And you got it figured out. I mean, you know what you like doing. He isn't like, do I want to fuck my car, or should I just like go to jail?
Yeah, there are zero people who are like open micing fucking a car.
Yeah.
They know what they're doing.
Yeah, that guy knows who he is. He doesn't wake up and, oh, what should I be doing this? Blah, blah, blah. He's like, no, I'm going to go outside. I'm going to stick my dick in the tailpipe of my American Muscle.
It's interesting that both of you think it's the tailpipe. It's actually not the tailpipe.
What does he do?
Well, that's the only thing that makes sense.
He gets on the hood and really caresses the headlamp part.
See, the fact that that's a show on television is that seems like something from like Idiocracy or some dumb movie
about
the future. You're like, that's what people watch.
We watch man fuck car.
But now you're telling me, I'm like, you don't even know how the guy fucks a car. I know how the guy fucks a car, and it's just. Jesus Christ.
Are people in his neighborhood like getting used to it, I wonder?
Yeah, they're like, hey, Phil.
Oh, what's going on, buddy? How are you? How are the kids?
Oh, the best of the
terrible, I'm sure.
The parents, because they're just like, you know, we want our son to be happy with Chris. The car's name is Chris.
Oh, my God.
It's like, why wouldn't you name it something fun like Camry, you know? You just went with Chris.
Yeah, that's like a lame roommate you don't even like.
Yeah. It seems like some sort of weird, like... He's probably just like a gay guy. That's why he named it Chris, but he can't get over it. He has some latent homophobia. So he's just like, I'll just come on my car.
That is super latent, I would say. That is
that is very latent.
Because he's like, maybe, you know what? Maybe I'm turned on by AutoZone. It's like, no.
Then all the buff dudes working there. For sure, man.
Pat, so you said you grew up in Maine.
Mm-hmm.
What was that like? Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I think so. Tough to know, you know, because I didn't grow up anywhere else. But
right, you're just like, well, it happened.
It happened. Yeah. I think I was relatively happy most of the time. I didn't grow up in the most rural area of it. The town is called Bangor, so it's like has a
I feel like I've been there, or is it a famous town?
It's like one of the larger cities in Maine, I believe. Right?
Yeah, it is, and it has like Stephen King lives there. That's what I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm thinking.
You said that with such just malice in your voice. Well, you're like, I'm tired of talking about this piece of shit. There's more to Maine than Stephen King and the guy that wrote the
There's
I'm
the
awesome
guy
song.
I bought Percocet off. There's a whole bunch of other people,
famous, hardworking people that deserve recognition in that state. To be honest,
there's also a massive statue of. Paul Bunyan that I'm sure the liberals will tear down the second they get.
That's the last.
I think it used to be a big logging capital.
Oh, okay.
Lumber would come from Canada, but there's a big river going through it. So they were like, let's throw a massive statue of Paul Bunyan up here. Once they start reading his old tweets, though, they will get taken down.
Yeah, dude.
Old fuck.
He had some weird things to say about that blue ox.
Yeah.
But Paul Bunyan's a huge Minnesota guy, too, and I'm not really sure why.
Well, it's really not a good sign if a fictional character is like the largest sign in a place, right?
Probably not.
There's a statue of Rocky in Philadelphia. I'm like, does that mean the only impressive person here like didn't exist?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like from a movie.
That wasn't even probably shot in the city.
Yeah, it was
either.
Like shot in LA or something.
Yeah.
As has been pointed out by other people, there's a million great boxers from Joe Louis from
Philadelphia. Yeah.
The best is Stovin Salone. Just throwing his hands around for 3 minutes at a time.
So, Pat, you're a comedian now. Were you always like a funny kind of kid, or were you sort of I feel like you were kind of like me, where you would make jokes, but not to everybody, just to the guy next to you?
Not as much. I was a pretty like desperate, like I was definitely trying to get big laughs.
Oh,
for
yeah.
Sure.
I
wish I would like to frame it as like, no, you know, I was like, you know, I'd be reading and then I'd have an intelligent statement to make, but I was like, no, I was like, oh, you want me to eat that quarter?
Oh, you're the eat it kid.
I would eat stuff, yeah.
Yes. Sure. Always the eat it kid.
There's probably 270 and change in my somewhere, one of my intestines.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
No,
I was never the eat it kid, but I loved making the eat it kid eat it. Like, I loved creating the thing to be like, oh, eat this shit, dude. Like you just throw Skittles and mashed potatoes and gravy and mustard, then you're like, eat it, and then everyone go, ah, but
that
it'd
was
be fun.
That
yeah.
was so crazy. Yeah. All right. I had to leave school one time because I ate like 6 habanero peppers. I remember I just popped
for like a dare or just someone
some
like,
guy brought them, obviously, to get somebody to eat them, and I was just like, fuck, give it to me. Boom. Throw one back. And I'm like, it doesn't kick in until 20 seconds later or whatever, so I'm just like, more.
Oh, my God.
I was like, I will die on this hill.
as long as someone gives me a hug before I pass out, I'm good.
I had to go to the hospital. Yeah.
Jesus. Oh my God.
Yeah, my face was just
like,
I love how you're like, in the beginning of my stand-up career was being hospitalized trying to get attention from my peers. Yeah. So, and I was like, what if we kind of turn this into a career?
You know? Right, exactly. I was like, I wish I could just do that now. I don't have to write jokes. I'm just like, give me a gross sandwich.
Yeah. On stage, it's my closer. It's
right. My closer is swallowing a roll of quarters.
Yeah. Everyone spit on this piece of bread. I'm going to eat it.
Who's got a goldfish?
It's going to be hilarious.
Yeah. Well, that would be a whole different realm.
Of that would be.
I feel like that could be a sexual thing a little bit.
No, that's if things keep going the way you're going, that's like an OnlyFans account. One of us starts and just doesn't share. Kenyon, you'll just eat moldy sandwiches for like $30 a pop. Have a video of him just eating a moldy sandwich for like $50 a pop, dude. You know?
So Jesus Christ, this is really disgusting.
Just crying, chugging whiskey, eating a moldy sandwich. Going, God damn it.
That's the future of our podcast right there.
Yeah, no.
That's how to make money in America.
Now, instead of a Patreon, we will start an OnlyFans for just whatever weird thing you want.
Yeah, if you want to make me eat it, make me eat it.
Yeah.
You have to just debase yourself. Just accept it. Just be like, listen, the gig economy is not going great for me.
Yeah.
That's going to eat stuff on camera.
Yeah, and I'll be plugging my dates as I'm eating stuff on camera. I'm like, so this weekend I'm going to be back at the Chuckle Chut in San Antonio as I'm just eating a sandwich full of nails.
just like a brown banana.
Yeah. I'm just Cincinnati, guys. It's still available.
And like lower tier comics are just people who don't eat as gross as shit. They're just like, I'm gonna eat a tomato that's been sort of
all the yellow Skittles, which are my least favorite.
Like, damn, dude, that is commitment.
Yeah.
So, did you ever get in trouble as a kid, Pat? Like in school or?
Yep, I would get in trouble a lot for
just, for eating stuff.
Well, no, they, no. The teachers love that. They were like, Pat's back.
Yeah, oh, Patty.
I would mostly just like hyperactivity type of things. Like, could not sit in a room. And you know, I'm sure I was just a nightmare to have as a teacher. And I'm sure of this because a teacher one time said, "You were a nightmare." and that's why I'm sure.
That's the best way to know. Yeah, yeah.
But I think it was like, yeah, I would get in trouble. Just like nothing crazy. I wasn't like doing meth or anything like that. Right. I was doing, you know, like.
The pause makes me worry. You're like, I wasn't doing meth, all right? I mean,
I wasn't.
All right, so I was doing meth. It wasn't all the time. I mean, it was just every now and then. Yeah, I mean, it was just some Saturday meth.
I would do like lower tier speed.
Yeah.
And, just dumb little shit and like fights and stuff like that.
Right.
Oh, really? Were you a fighter? Did you get into
I have a very thin skin, so I think I would be. You know, I would get into fights.
Okay. God, yeah, I've never gotten into a fight. Ever. Really? I mean, I've gotten into like scraps with like really good friends. Like, we're joking around. Like, we used to have this thing. It was in high school too. We'd call it WrestleMania Monday, right? And we'd all go to Brad's house and we'd clear out his living room. And then we'd just like kind of like wrestle each other until somebody accidentally hurt somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And then that person would get angry and try to actually hurt the other person. And then those two people would fight. So everyone else would stop fighting and then just watch the other two fight.
Okay, so you've never been into a fight.
No, I've never been into a fight.
I like how you're like, no, I've been into a fight. Me and my friends, we got together, we had a sleepover, and we slapped each other. So I want you to know, if you get into one fight, that's negative one fight.
Yeah.
Like, that's, you're still at zero fights if you kick the shit out of someone.
Right. That's too many pillows to be involved for too many cushions. But we would do that same thing, too. We would kind of like, if your friend had a basement that didn't seem like anyone was going to like smack their head off of a table, you would just be like, let's...
Let's destroy
each other. There's a certain age of young boy that is just a weird destructive being that just fucks around.
And they're terrible. A 15 to 17 year old boy probably is like the worst human.
I think
the worst living thing on the planet
on the earth.
Yeah,
it should be caged.
Well, because I think in back in the day, you probably would have had some like you might have had to like protect your group or whatever or do something, but then it's just like all the testosterone, all that evolution of like, you know, there is a general purpose for this, maybe to like fight off an animal potentially, but you have nothing to do, your life is totally fine,
you just have
Blockbuster stealing shit and, you know,
right,
leaving faucets on in public buildings.
Used to have to be crazy to survive at that period,
right.
But now it's you're right, you're just causing.
Like, there's no invaders.
It's just
kicking holes in the wall of a bathroom in a bowling alley.
All right, Pat. So you did mention pre-pod. You had some stories, some dad stories to bring up.
Yeah. My dad's like a pretty funny dude. He's he lives in Maine still, and the one that strikes me, well, he has kind of weird, he like started a music festival in Maine.
Okay,
years ago,
because cool.
you know your dad, and you're just like, oh, he's just like a stiff, like, you know, once they become a dad, they're kind of, you don't
they're
see
cool
the somewhat
anymore.
Interesting things about him. But he moved up to Maine because he was trying to do like a back to the earth.
Oh, really?
Of, yeah, he was doing that. And then, I found out they had this whole music festival going on in the woods at their friend's house, and it would be like, you know, by the end of it, there was like, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people coming out to this thing. And it was like really low budget. It was like, you know, I don't know. I feel like those hippies had a little bit more like integrity, where they were like, yeah, we are actually not going to have any comfort. Yeah,
right. Yeah. We're sitting in dirt.
We
right
have a
now.
Little cabin. Yeah. Yeah. And so that's like just something I never really knew about him. But the story that I always think is funny is that he's like a dude who kind of didn't know like when to not make fun of someone a little bit.
Uh-huh.
So I had this friend, great friend still, his name's Tyler McDade, and he was baseball player. And I'm at the baseball game. I'm not on the team at this point. I had quit since then. He's on and he just like strikes out like three, just keeps whiffing in the game. Just has a terrible game at bat. And he's like really fucked up about it. Like, you know, it's getting in his head,
right,
as baseball does. And so he hits me up afterwards and he's like, dude, I'm coming over. We're probably going to go out in the woods and smoke weed or something like that to like chill out.
Yeah.
But and so he is like really fucking pissed about it. He pulls up to my house in his little Ford Focus, and he gets out, and I'm like, dude, don't worry about it. Baseball's stupid. Like whatever. It doesn't matter.
Right.
We are in Bangor, Maine, after all.
You're like, just remind him every, we're 15 years old in Bangor, Maine. Right.
I don't think Manny Ramirez is coming out of here anytime soon.
You weren't about to get on the Yankees because of what happened out there.
So he's just been fucking whiffing all day. Cannot hit a goddamn pitch, right? He goes, picks me up, and my dad is just kind of out on the porch, like looking at a paper or something like that. And my dad's the type of dude who will, like, listen to sports on the radio, even though he doesn't have to. It's like, you know, we got a TV inside. You could
just want to experience with my grandpa.
Yeah. He's just sitting there whittling. No, but so he listens to the game on the radio, and McDade pulls out of the driveway. He goes, window down, and he goes. McDade rolls his window down, and my dad just goes, learn how to take a pitch. And I was like, that was pretty good, Dad. That was pretty decent. But McDade was literally on the verge of suicide.
I mean, he was just doing the full old man thing. He's like, I'm going to sit outside even though I don't have to. In a rocking chair and just tell a young kid what it is.
And just kind of tinkering with things. Not really fixing anything or whatever. Just kind of looking through the garden and being like, all right, whatever. Just, you know.
Oh, young person. Destroy his self-esteem. Move on. Bring on the next one.
Right.
My dad used to do that all the time because that's kind of his way of like communicating, but people, because of his accent, don't really fully understand what's going on because he's a British guy.
Yeah, that is one of the funniest things to picture.
Just a British man yelling at
me. So my buddy once came to our house, and he had those, you remember those Stefan Marbury shoes?
Yes.
So he had a pair of those, and he loved these shoes. He was like, these are like my favorite shoes. And he comes over to my house, and he takes them off by the front door. And we're just like hanging out in the living room. My dad comes home from work, and he immediately goes like, bloody hell, what the fuck is this? And he holds up these Stefan Marbury shoes, and he goes, these are bloody clown shoes. Who's walking around in these? And my friend's like, oh, that was me. And he goes, bloody awful shoes. Awful shoes. Really, you should throw them in the bin. They're bloody, what are they, boats? Water skis? Are you water skiing? And like, my friend, he's starting to tear up. He's like 12 or something.
Oh,
he's like,
God.
I love those shoes. And he goes, oh, are you going to cry because I'm making fun of your fucking shoes? And my dad was blown away. He was like, I cannot believe you're in here having a cry because I'm making fun of your bloody boat shoes. And he just like threw them away, and he goes, the kids, for fuck's sake, and walks upstairs. And I had to apologize for my dad so many times.
Because you're like, Dad, that's not your kid. He doesn't have any relationship with, he doesn't know you. This is just an adult just obliterating him. Right.
Again, if I tried to be like, maybe you shouldn't do that to my friends, he'd be like, listen, he'd always break down how much he paid a month. Like, you know how much I pay a mortgage for my house?
For this flat? For this flat?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to make a kid cry if I want.
Those are fighting where Stefan Mark, those are cool shoes. That would be like him insulting like Winston Churchill or something like that. He's like, you are the queen. Was he one of those guys at all? Did he like have...
He always has, he's like, I hate the royal family, but I love the queen. And I was like, I don't really understand that whatsoever.
A family of pedophiles propped up by our tax money. What's the hate? You know,
they throw a big party.
I don't know. Yeah, he's not a big royal family guy.
Yeah,
He's not a huge. I mean, he didn't really like when he moved here. He loved America. But he always said, like, the number one thing, reason why he moved to America was because of Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, really? Dude.
Let's go, Nick Springsteen. Which is so funny because it's so, like, it's so Americana. Just like
he was not born
rock.
In the USA.
Yeah, no, not at all.
He's over there in, like, some beautiful part of England, and he's like, man, I got to get to North Jersey. That's where it goes down.
Just in London looking at that whole fucking beautiful city.
Well, that's something our fathers haven't come. My dad is a massive Springsteen fan.
Oh,
I've seen him with him twice.
Oh, I've never seen Bruce Springsteen. How old were you when you first went there?
I was like 16. Went to Gillette Stadium where the Patriots play.
That's cool.
Saw
that's
the boss.
Cool beans.
Yeah, it was good shit.
I once lied to my parents and said I was going to a Bruce Springsteen concert when really I went to a Call of Duty midnight release. It's pretty embarrassing.
I think they're both kind of sad.
Yeah.
You broke even. You know, either way.
There are those great Springsteen songs about video games.
Yeah.
It's just like, I got married when I was 18. I got a union card and an Xbox 360.
Modern day Bruce Springsteen.
Okay. before we head out, let's I'm gonna read this listener story and we're gonna talk shit about it.
Hell yeah,
and it's
dude.
Gonna be really fun.
This guy's about to get fucking owned.
Yeah, dude. Rip. It's funny. The I love that we're getting all these DMs from dad stories. But if you do have a dad story, just try to chip it up a little bit. You know what I mean? Don't. It doesn't have to be.
Person put their soul out, Nick. We don't have to.
I know, but okay, all right. I'll just read it. And his name's Rob. Rob M. I guess I don't want to say the full name just in case. But he said his dad used to be a big drinker, right? And he would get drunk on the weekends, which I feel like dads deserve to do. You've earned the right to get drunk on the weekends. That's when you get drunk.
Yeah. Sure. How else you gonna mow your lawn? You know?
Exactly. Now that I look back at it, because my dad used to mow the lawn all the time, and I had no idea. How, like, why he would keep doing that, but it's because of the drink that would make me want to mow the lawn too. Just get drunk and do fucking back and forth. Anyway, big drinker, get drunk on the weekends, and he would pass out on the toilet. And he said, my brother is 11 years older than me, and we grew up pretty white trash. I would be, well, that was pretty self-evident by the first sentence. So he would be 8, and his brother would be like 18 to 19, and they would rock, paper, scissors to see who would have to wake dad up to help him get his pants on from the toilet.
This seems more like a cry for help. Gotta tell you, like, it's a funny listener story. I'm just like, is everyone okay? It's a cute.
Well, you know, he survived now.
Yeah, we just to play rock, paper, scissors to wake daddy up. And you're like, this is something you say in a support group with a single tear falls down your eye.
Well, so that guy got really good at rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah.
That's how you. He was first in the gym, last one to leave.
Yeah.
Because that became a game to, like, let's see who sees dad's dick. And yeah, so yeah. That's a serious
game. That's how
you
game. Even know what's coming. You have solid strategy. Yeah, you can write books about
and
it.
And you're like, my brother, he does two rocks and a paper every time. I fucking know it.
I wonder, though, is he pounding beers in the bathroom? Or is he, like, so drunk, goes in, and he's the type of guy who sits while he pees?
I mean, there is that level of drunk where you're like, well, I don't know, I'm sitting down. It could be both.
I'll be in
it
the bathroom or whatever.
Yeah. it could happen.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and take the pants down. Let's get ready for whatever.
Yeah. There was I one time shit my pants on a toilet because I'd been drinking so much.
See, that's what that guy was trying to avoid. You could see clearly an experienced guy, and that's like day one alcoholism or whatever. So
yeah.
He was trying to cut that out.
Shit your pants. So that's like you came so close to not shitting your pants.
Yeah,
you were like, I am literally in the one place.
The one
where
place
it would be acceptable to shit.
Uh huh. And I ended up just shitting.
Yeah, I would just be so mad at myself the second that's.
Yeah, no, I was pretty upset.
You were like right at the finish line, and you just.
But, wow. I mean, to be honest, very easy cleanup. Just threw away everything I had on. Mm-hmm. Even my shirt. I was like, it's gone in the trash.
You start a new identity at that point. Yeah. I mean, especially you're out at a bar. I mean, how do you face your friends? You see me at a bar in Costa Rica later. Just gone by a different, I'm under an alias.
Yeah.
I've never seen from again if that happens to me.
Yeah. Well, Pat, do you have anything you want to plug before we head out?
I'll plug, I run a show at, Half Sour, if you're here in Chicago, the bar is called Half Sour. It's in the South Loop. It's called Tight Ship.
Oh, it's so good. Get there early, too.
Yeah, get there early to get a seat, but come check that out. And then we also have a show at Goose Island Brewery in the West Loop on the last Sunday of each month. That's been a ton of fun, too. And so come check that out if you ever get a chance. And you're in Chicago. If you're in another city, I don't give a fuck.
Fly to Chicago and go to Tight Ship. I'll be there next week.
Love and of that. Course, come to the Lincoln Lodge and see comedy.
Of course, anytime. Of course.
All right, Pat. Well, thanks for coming on, man.
Dude, thanks for having me, boys. That was so much fun.
Yeah, man.
Hey, guys, you just listened to another episode of Fuck You, Dad. If you could follow us on our Instagram, which is FCKYOUDAD podcast, that's the important one. We also have a Twitter account, which is FCKYOUDADPODCA1. If you could follow that. Also, please submit any father stories that you have that you'd like us to make fun of, laugh at, or share. Shoot that to our Instagram DMs. And if you could please go ahead and rate the podcast, share the podcast with your friends and family that might enjoy it. And keep listening. Thank you so much.